Oh, she lives in Denmark.
Yeah, the rules are
starting to get nasty.
Okay. It's 6:35, so we will call the Plan Commission meeting to order. And first order of business is roll call. Hanson?
Here.
Rob?
Oh, Rob. Here.
Dart?
Here.
Retzlaff is not here yet. Colada?
Here.
And Caprud, I'm present. And we now have the agenda. Are there any modifications? Trevor, anything that needs to be changed?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, I'll be looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
A motion made by Chris. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, and any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We have the minutes from our October 27th meeting. Everybody's had a chance to review those.
Officially now, Longview has been paved, so thank you. It wasn't the day after it's paved tomorrow. It didn't happen for a while, but thank you.
Was it the shortage of concrete that was holding that project up?
From what I understand, there's a lot of things that into it, but that was one of them.
Okay, because I've heard from some contractors that they aren't guaranteed concrete right now, so they're rationing. Okay. And note that Retzlaff has now joined us. Is there any discussion on the minutes, or I'll be looking for a motion to approve? Did you have a chance to take a look at them?
I did read them, so they're adequate.
You're making a motion to approve?
Yes.
Your Roger makes a motion to approve the minutes from our October meeting. Is there a second? Second by Kendra. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Any announcements, Trevor?
I would just like to announce the Historic Preservation Work at House for Homes of the National Registry. And I've got the postcard at the spot. That'll be on December 3rd at Webster Elementary School in the gymnasium. And we'll include a representative from the Wisconsin Historical Society speaking on
So we sent out 140 invitations, is that right? And that would include everybody that would be in the three potential historic districts as well as any of the individually eligible property owners. So we hope we get a good turnout and everybody here is welcome to attend too.
So is this just basically providing information, or is this something like I have a neighbor that her family started the whole south side of Alloway. She knows everything about everything on the history. And I tried to get her involved in the meeting. I don't know if this is the meeting or if there's a place in the future.
Well, she might enjoy hearing this, but we would definitely like her to consider being on the Historic Preservation Committee. We do have a vacancy. She has a lot of history and a lot of information she can help provide.
She's kind of homebound. She'd be willing to come maybe to a meeting, not be on a committee.
I could pick her up.
Okay. We could talk
that. We are short a couple members.
I could pick her up.
Thank you.
What the homeowners will learn at that meeting is the benefits of being on the National Register. We're just trying to gauge interest to see if people would be interested in that. We would apply for grants from the state in the future to have some of the paperwork and the applications filled out. But we just are just kind of introducing this right now and trying to get a feel for what people think. Anything else, Trevor? Brad?
Just wanted to announce that we do have a new park rec and forest people director. Chris Clark will be starting with the village next Monday. Not really for the previous job, but the way we call it as the superintendent of parks and golf course. So looking forward to Chris joining us, and he may be coming to a meeting or two here just to bring you the form of the village committee and all that. So.
Okay, that's it for announcements then. So, does anybody hear of anything to announce? Okay. We'll move on to public appearances. Becky Nyberg of the Alloy Walks and Bike. That's you that joined us today. And did you have a presentation, or you just want to let us know what's going on?
I'm here. My name is Becky Nyberg, and I live at 214 Simonette Street. And I've been a resident of the village for 10, 11 years now. I also work for the health department, and I have organized a group since 2004 called Alloy Walks and Bikes, and I know I'm probably all kinds of stuff except for the way I'm looking at the village as a whole as how you can get across the village and without using a car and get from your home to the parks and school and everything. And at our last meeting, Craig was talking about the fact that one of the things that we were able to do was the village applied for a grant from the Department of Transportation in about 2010, and had a grant that the planning department got money to write a Safe Routes to School plan. And in writing the plan, the planners for the county just as they could kind of included, since the area covered is the area within 2 miles of the grade school, basically the whole village was eligible to be looked at with this grant because everybody lives within 2 miles of the grade school in Alloy, and it was public and parochial grade school. But because the focus was just schools, you know, and getting to and from schools, the planning department tried to put some overall movement of everybody within the village in the plan as much as they could, but it's not as comprehensive as it could be. And it is now, too. It was finished at the beginning of 2012, I believe. So it's 2 years ago. And Craig was talking and saying that, you know, as the village moves forward with the TIF district, with the rebuilding Riverside Drive, rebuilding Webster, that it would be really nice to be able to update this plan to be more comprehensive of what are we going to do. Because honestly, the way the village is laid out, it's not at all friendly to walking and bicycling. And it would be really expensive to do it over again, you know, to do it right, you know. But there are ways to look at what we have, and as streets are rebuilt, to make sensible decisions on kind of making connectivity. And it's just easier from a public work standpoint to, when a street's rebuilt, then just say, well, let's look at this plan and see what we should do. Instead of, you know, and that's just kind of automatic. Whereas now it's like, okay, we can redo the street the way it is, or we can take the time to look up what we should do, but it'd just be better to have an overall better plan. And so Craig asked me to come and talk to the Planning Commission about the fact that the Planning Commission should ask the village to, you know, somehow maybe ask Craig, Public Works Department, something to update this plan. I also talked to Cole Runge with the Planning Department because he was the one who got the grants and did the original plan. And he said if the village puts together data and everything, he can easily update maps, he can add things in, and he can, at the end, I don't think it would be, I can't speak for him, but from the way he was talking, it didn't sound like there would be much cost at all for him to like pull everything together and put it into the plan and do the maps and draw, you know, and get it together as a plan. So the group that I work with, Roger, comes to the meetings a lot of times. I'm assuming you're all on the mailing list. I had everybody I talked to, so that you hear about what we're doing, that we would be more than willing as a... The group that I have is a completely voluntary group that has no standing in any of the village processes other than we're citizens and come and ask for stuff. We are not a commission, not an advisory group, we would never granted that kind of authority by any of those boards previously or anything. So, but our members are more than happy to come and assist if we could get the village to somehow initiate that process. And I'm not sure, where, I'm assuming it starts here for somebody here to say, on the planning commission, this is a good idea, this is something we should look into, this is something we should do. Because they're redoing Riverside Drive, and because Riverside Drive isn't around by any of the grade schools, it wasn't looked at extensively in that walking and bicycling plan. There was nothing in the plan specifically for upgrades on Riverside Drive, partly because in 2010, they thought that it was going to be a long time before Riverside Drive was redone and didn't realize the road was falling apart and the utilities needed to be fixed. So that wasn't looked at. And I know Webster is coming up, and I don't think there's much other than around the schools, that there's much specific about Webster. One of the other things is, too, the way the village is laid out, it's because of the north or the east-west barriers. There's 172, there's the railroad tracks, there's, it funnels everyone to limited areas. And those are the choke points, and those are the places where we do have to do something. We don't necessarily have to do things to make it easy walking, bicycle, on the street, and the road. Because it's a wide street and everybody can use it to drive slow, and that's fine. But we really need to be looking at the choke points in the village, and a lot of those streets are coming up to be redone, and so we really need to be looking at fairness in everybody using the limited right of way that we have, especially when we're forcing everyone there, because there's just, I live right, the sun off of 172 is in my backyard, and so I'm fully well aware that if I want to get to De Pere, I have to go to Webster, I have to go to Bible, and everybody does. So I'm not sure, I guess it's an interesting question, what do I as a citizen have to request that the village look into updating the plan, or can I ask that you as a commission ask somebody to look into updating the plan? I don't really know exactly what to do.
Which department actually takes care of that plan?
That's really a planning issue.
It wasn't, so it would come
under our authority.
Or Public Works? It wasn't? Okay.
So. Craig said he would be involved with the engineering aspects of it, but he requested the planning commission kind of look at where they thought the best areas could use additional sidewalks or bike lanes. Mm-hmm. So I guess it would be a joint effort between Public Works Committee and
so Commission. We're talking about which plan?
The Safe Route to School.
The Safe Route to School. Can we change that plan at this point in time?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You just put some modifications, yeah.
And okay. Actually, just for a little bit of history on that, when the Safe Roads to Schools plan was completed, we actually took, so Tracy Flukey was the administrator in this planning commission, we talked about not taking the whole entire Safe Roads to School plan, but there's the bicycle and pedestrian maps. We took those out, and those went into our comprehensive plan updates. I do agree with you, Becky. We talked about when we did our field review last year. Remember, we went on St. Joseph. It's part of the site review. It said sidewalk would be on one side of St. Joseph. Well, if that's in our TIP district, if we're redeveloping it, does that make a lot of sense? And when we had a public meeting to talk about the update of the comprehensive plan, there was a number of citizens that pointed out some errors, that the sidewalk was in areas that were already added that didn't show up on the map. So I agree that map does need to be updated. You're right, Riverside wasn't on there. There's a whole bunch of other changes that weren't on there. But I think we've already started kind of doing that. Some of the things that you're talking about, we've gotten caught. That's why if you see on the agenda later on, we're going to talk about update on the Public Works 5-year plan. Well, later on, I'm going to ask, what's the county's plans? What's the state's plans? We need to get all those out on the table because we've been surprised by a few Public Works projects that we should have been advocating maybe for bicycle or pedestrian facilities, and we just didn't know.
Yeah. And and it makes it so much easier. When I worked with the Village of Ashwaubenon too, and they did a comprehensive plan for the village, and the public works director came to the meeting, and he is like, I love you guys, because it used to be that I knew that we had projects coming up, and I knew that we should be putting facilities in here, but each project that had to go to the board, and the board had to decide, and it was just, you know, that it's easier for me to go, oh, I want to do this. If it's in a plan, if it's mapped out, then it's already approved by the board, the concept, and so me adding it to a project is a no-brainer. Easier for the staff, costs less money, makes sense, things get connected. And so we have kind of a starter plan, which is kind of the whole idea was that we got the grant and we got the plan and got it started focusing on the schools because that's where the money came from. But it would be really nice now to make it a better whole village, more comprehensive bicycle and pedestrian plan.
So our current Safe Roads to School plan was the one that was completed in 2012?
I believe that's what it says on the front.
It was... Yeah, it was done in, I think, 11, and it was probably authorized in 12. So.
And if it's something that's outdated, then maybe this is something we need to just have on the agenda every spring and take a look at that. Just, I don't know if that's
I think things changed.
Well, the thing is that the... I'm sorry.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Right now, we've got a Safe Routes to School plan conjoined to a... bike and ped plan.
Okay.
So the question is, can we separate those two? And the bike ped plan tends to be oriented towards access to schools and recreational use, and it doesn't really address transportation issues. So can we break it off and start to look at it with respect to, you know, Trans 75, for example, the state complete streets policy, and do updates like that. So, and really, it, a plan like that would come under the authority of a plan commission.
Okay.
You know, be administered by the planning department or the planning officer in the village.
And then we would just work with Public Works to find out what flat projects they plan on doing.
The nice thing about Becky being here is she's got a citizen participation group that's active in addressing pedestrian and bicycle issues. And one of the hard things we've had to do is getting the public to come out and provide input to planning issues. So this, I think this is a great source of public input.
Who authored the original plan?
The original plan county. Was done by Cole Runge at the Brown County Planning Department. Under a grant, a $15,000 grant from the
Brown County.
Yeah. And he said that he, you know, I talked to him about it, and he's like, there wouldn't be any problem with it. I'll, you know, he'd tell me, what, you know, update the maps, update the information, you know, rewrite the narrative on it. I mean, all that kind of stuff can either be done by staff here and sent to him, and he can put it in there and keep it there, or you can do your own and take all his information.
Yeah. The important part of doing the plan is that it provides design program information for Public Works when they decide to do a street. Mm-hmm. So, and theoretically, it should also provide it for the county when they decide to do something here, so we can question their program requirements.
I guess in their defense, Hoffman Road, they did that. And ultimately, I mean, we were caught surprised at the end that they were so far along, but they did add the bike lanes. They did add, I mean, there was already existing sidewalk. They just urbanized it. But so I think there is a process. I guess part of the other area where the plan will help us is in the future, outside of our borders. When Bellevue takes Hoffman farther, what are they going to do? Are they going to have, there's that little narrow section there?
You know, and I work, like I said, I work for the health department, and the skinny sliver of my job is trying. When 10 years ago, we had money for what we call health promotion and prevention, keeping people healthy. We were doing blood pressure screenings at businesses, and I was telling people to go out for a walk, you need to get exercise, and they were saying, I can't, you know, where I live, I can't. I moved from downtown Green Bay to Alloway and Game Tampa, because I used to go for a walk every night in downtown Green Bay. Even in the winter, I felt completely safe because it was all sidewalks and unless it was icy, I was out there walking. So what we decided to do was, you know, the health department's not in the direct service business, but we are in the, if the barrier is that people can't get around in their communities, then we need to talk to the people who are making those decisions and tell them about health. And so I'm talking to Ashwaubenon and Bellevue and Peter and, you know, Bowen and I'm always kind of talking, when I'm talking to people in Bellevue saying, when you transition from one community to another, you need to look at, see what, you know, on a major thoroughfare, you got to look and see what's there, because where the bike lanes come up Alloway Avenue and then they disappear in Bellevue, and you can't do that to people. You wouldn't do that to somebody in a car. You can't do so. So I'm already bringing up those ideas, but then Bellevue, if we have a plan online, then they look at it and they go, wow, Alloway either has bike lanes there or they're going to. Then us putting a side path on that other side of the street doesn't make sense, because if we do it, how are we going to connect it so that people don't have to go ways across the street to get from one place to another? So it really helps each community for the other one. You know, you make decisions and then they make decisions and you look at each other's plans and talk. Because there wasn't a lot of that going on about 15 years ago. But there's a lot more of it now. I mean, I know Brad talks to the other. It would be good for others to know what
happens. I guess generic question. Originally, the Safe Routes to School was kept separate because they were 100% federally funded, the projects. Now they're not anymore. So does it make sense to have a state, or do we just have a bicycle pedestrian plan? Because that's something I had talked to Tracy in the past, that when we had our TIF district, why spend that money when we could use TIF district dollars for a bicycle pedestrian facility? We need to be smart for the village and spend the right amount of dollars in the right places so we get the biggest bang for the buck. Now that that's changed, I don't know if our philosophy should change on how we're looking at, maybe we just have one big overall plan instead of maybe a Safe Routes to School or this or that. Does it really matter anymore?
Well, the Safe Routes to School portion could be a component of a bicycle and pedestrian plan. But I think the Safe Routes to School documentation is important because we pay for crossing guards for all the schools, and we need to have an understanding of, you know, how safe the roads are around the schools, how easy it is for them to be accessed. So it's, you know.
I mean, that plan directly is the reason led to the $400,000 grant from the, if you didn't have the Safe Routes to School plan, the DOT wouldn't have okayed the grant for all the stuff that's going to go in the Webster School. So those are part of the, you know, having those plans also helps in applying for grants and funding and stuff too. So, you know, we thought about this. This is important. This makes sense. If we're going to use your dollars wisely, please give them to us.
As two separate plans, or would it be okay to have the Safe Routes to School plan be just a component of the bike and pedestrian plan?
It's up to the building.
Or if that would make a difference?
I guess one other thing to throw out, it probably should be updated anyways. If you look at Hoffman, now if there's roundabouts or there's different things, there's crossing guards in the area, but it's probably a safer facility than what it was to what it is now. So it's not, we can't just use the same old plan. We almost have to relook and say what engineering improvements have happened in the last few years. So if
and the plan didn't address bike lanes on Riverside Drive. Now we're not getting bike lanes, we're getting bike accommodations. But that should be in some way documented, updated.
So maybe this we can add this to our goals for 2015 and take a look at that early in the year next year.
But I would say we should also receive reports from Alloway Walks and Bikes on the semi-monthly basis that they meet, or a bi-monthly basis they meet, actually.
Well, if we start helping, what I sent out in the notes, and like I said, it's a completely voluntary group, although I do spend part of my time at my job writing the notes. I mean, basically I'm paid to do all the crummy stuff that nobody would volunteer to do, which is to take the minutes and send me the information and find, you know, the rest of the stuff is all done by volunteers. I'm thinking if you're not on the list, just give me your email address and you get them every, you know. that, and if you, because you get them, I know you, because you come to
right.
the
mm-hmm.
you can put them into the planning commission.
Is it a big group that gets together?
There's about 85 to 90
wow.
people on mailing list, and they are close. They'll tell me to stop sending it to them. And we usually get between 5 to 10 people, and we've been meeting every other month. Although when we were working out the Safe Routes to School plan, we were meeting every month. If something comes up, you know, and I kind of put out a notice that maybe in 2015 we might be meeting every month, or maybe we might change the time. We meet on a Tuesday morning here at the Village Hall, which means that most of the people come are retired people. But when we were meeting in the evening, it was hard for us to get the village staff to come, and that was the most important part, is that we have the citizens talk to the village staff. And so we did it at a time when it was convenient to get the staff there, and then we collect all the information, and then I disseminate it to everybody.
I'm just thinking that the same way that the village board receives our minutes,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking we should receive the minutes of Alloway Walks and Bikes
okay,
as representative of a community group.
I'm having a crazy thought. Roger, when we look back, when we became mm-hmm. a planning commission, I thought we looked at the statutes and we could have subcommittees. Is there a reason, Brad or Trustee Dart, that we couldn't have a subcommittee, and then at least it gives a place, they're doing all this work, they give it to us, and then it could either be filtered with our reports up to the village board? Because sometimes your groups are going, and maybe that's fine that you're badgering trustees or talking to whoever you got to talk to staff, but it might be an official way. And maybe the village mm-hmm. attorney would say you just can't do it. But I don't remember this discussion ever coming up. But I thought it was in state statute. I could be wrong. I didn't bring my big book with me. But that might be, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the history behind, in 2004, we were like, you know, where's the low-hanging fruit? Where do we need to work as a health department? And like I said, I lived in Alloway, and I was driving home on Riverside Drive, and I saw a guy with a jogging stroller on the side of the street like this, and I saw him with a big sign across, and then I saw him drive and run across the street with a stroller, and I was like, okay, Alloway's first community. And I had lived in Ashwaubenon, and I was ticked off because they blew a grant to put sidewalks in and stuff, and so I work with Bellevue because I work with working with the suburban communities, and each one that I've worked with did a different thing based on the community. Ashwaubenon developed a pedestrian and bicycle
mm-hmm.
committee that's part of the village structure. They have monthly meetings, they report to the village board, they are, you know, that and I've left them, and they're freestanding now because I'm running out of funding. And in Bellevue, they took it on through their park and rec department, and they did their own plan, and I kind of keep touch with them. But in Alloway, it was, there was no wanting for anybody. I was kind of cut off of, we're not going to make any kind of official committee. And this was in 2004. And we've just been working as an unofficial committee, well, being allowed to be here, because it works, because I live here and I keep my pulse on it and I pull in people as needed. And if you want to change the structure, I don't care. But
well, I'm just questioning. Things have changed from back when I started on the planning and zoning committee, and it was very strong on zoning and maybe a little bit of dash of planning, not a lot. But back then, we didn't really do anything with planning related. Now that we're a plan commission, once we voted and we decided to have a TIF district, that was one of the requirements. We have a plan commission. There's different things that are in statute, and I'm not going to say I know everything in statute. This might fall under one of those responsibilities. And I think maybe that would be something in 2015 we should just look at, and maybe the village board says, or Brad says, I don't want to go down this route. But I'd say it's definitely a change now that we're a plan commission. I have a feeling this would fall under something that would be allowable mm-hmm. by statute.
I'm looking at it just as a way to get a sense of community sentiment. You know, there are notes that are written out and documented, and so it's something we can have on file.
And I'm not on her mailing list, so I don't know how many of you are on the mailing list.
I am.
I am.
Okay.
So
then maybe if you
Barb's the only
sure.
one.
Are you?
She's the chair. She should be there.
We
I'm
could,
on the list, but I
don't think I am.
So if okay, we could at least see.
Anybody on here? You go now? Okay, give me your email address. Okay, here you are. So there's 90 people, but it's only, you know, and a lot of people, I'm surprised that people will comment that they've read the notes, that they pay attention, you know. But it's not that we have 90 people every week.
Do you have a consistent core group, though, that...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a consistent core group. And depending on... It also depends on what kind of things are bubbling up. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the path at Sunset Park kind of went nowhere because of all the resident opposition, and it was kind of laid to rest. But somebody, Peter Andrews, who lives on the other side of Riverside Drive, just got really ticked off as a citizen that he's like, that's my park too. They may live around it, but it's not a private park. And he picked up the mantle, and I kind of helped him a little bit, but it was his pushing that led to getting NWPC to write the plan and got the path through Sunset Park. He was very instrumental in that. And since the path has gone in, has helped, you know, he's a little bit out of the picture, but we have other people that have, mm-hmm. you know, depending on where they live and what their passion is, some want to be able to bicycle and some want to be able just to walk around. And so we have to.
So, Brad, with the grant, is that portion that we can't change, the part where the grant is being?
Right. That's the only portion that, because that was funded under the grant. Under
right,
the
that's
grant.
That's part I was thinking we can't
we're
change that.
Outside yep. of the
okay.
I can't imagine anything that's like in the plan from the St. Francis School that you would specifically say this is a bad idea, now and take it out. I think it's more that you're going to add more stuff.
Okay, so what would be the next step for us then, Trevor, to just add this to our list of goals for next year and then see how we can work together?
Yeah, and Brad and I were just talking, we feel like how we identify what's going to work the best for getting this accomplished, whether it be establishing a subcommittee or you know, we'll have to explore that, but yeah, I definitely think it would be beneficial to add to goals for 2015, and the Public Works Department supports that idea as well.
Yeah, I should add that, you know, looking at the park and rec as well, because that's the other aspect of it. In part to park routes, to neighborhood sidewalks, that plan is we'll probably get started to do an update to that plan during the course of the so there's a lot of different all these plans are going to be developed, which is a good thing, but they all need to intertwine themselves and make sure that the committees, various committees are talking, so we are connecting.
Right, that's actually a great point, because and I think our perspective needs to change. I mean, if you look at the East River Trail, from what it was so narrow. Now you look at it, I've already walked it once, and I'm looking forward to next year going out there with my family more. That's going to become a destination. Now it's 10 feet wide. Before, you couldn't pass. I mean, it was 5 feet. It was a sidewalk for all practical purposes. So I think more people are going to want to go to the East River Trail. So we should almost look at, are there some places? I mean, there are some great access points, but maybe there's a few barriers. We haven't looked at the trail from that perspective as maybe a destination. So.
And just to add to that, Chris, we do have the supposed grant. Well, we have the grant is to finally do that the trail connection from Webster Avenue down to the Fox River Trail by Heritage Hill.
Okay.
It's been in the works since 2006. Hopefully the shovel hits the dirt this year, or 2015. So, again, that's yet another one of those that I think is going to be very valuable because it is making that meter connection. And it's by Heritage Hill. It's a block and a half from getting Green Avenue, which has bike lanes and
mm-hmm.
sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So you are making those connections, but it is. You have to bring all these groups together and find out the different ideas from each person or each group and make that plan the best plan for the community. So Everyone's working on them. It's just a matter of communicating.
I think it's a matter, too, of spending, of using the village money wisely, in that these things can be done when things are reconstructed. But once it's reconstructed, we're stuck with what we got. And so we need to be looking and asking those questions, you know, because you put a bridge in and you got a bridge, you know. I have to cross on Webster at 172 because I have to. And it sucks, but it's what we've got, and so we've got money to fix it. But when it gets fixed, I want to have some say, and not just say, well, that's what they've had in the past, they must be happy with it, let's just do more of the same. I think that we need to have a better vision for the village, that we aren't going to put sidewalks on every street, and we have to tell the residents that. You know, they read the street from my house, and I'm on 7F, and, you know, and it'd be nice, but it'd be expensive, and I think I'd even be mad that the village kind of, like, wasted the money to retrofit all that in there. When what we really need is the feeder streets, and how do we connect it all together, and how do we make it all make sense, and how do we do it out of village budget, and that's real important for economic development.
I think that's a great point, because like at Webster, I don't think that bridge over 172 is going to be there forever. And I think in a few years, we could either be proactive now, or we're really good at reactive later. But maybe that's not the way to always do things.
Yeah. And right now, okay, the mood at the DOT is bicycle and pedestrian facilities really are part of the project. But that doesn't mean that the federal government couldn't change the federal DOT, and the state government couldn't change the state, but that doesn't mean, so we need to have it as our thing here, so that when they bring the projects in, if they say, do you or don't you want it, you have to say, yeah, we want it, we're here, we wrote it down, you know, that's important to us, and so then they'll do that. But they could change their mind. Because I'm also on the TMA Transportation Subcommittee as a health representative, and so I see all the stuff that's going on with the federal and the state as it comes up to these kind of issues.
Thank you.
So, do you want me to?
Are there any questions for Becky? Mm-hmm. I look forward to getting the minutes from your meeting. I'll have to get you my email address.
Can you just, Brad, can you just send me the email addresses for the two people that are.
And we look forward to working with you and your group in the future.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
That was Barb and
I'm going to, my husband is home sick because I gave him my cold.
You have to take care of him.
This is like 6 days off, so.
Thank you. Okay, we'll have to add that to our goals, which we're looking at farther down on the agenda. The approval of the raising ordinance amendment. I hope everybody's had a chance to take a look at that. We've been looking at it for maybe 3 or 4 months at the Historic Preservation Committee level. Does anybody have any questions on the proposed changes, or we just wanted to make sure that if there's a historic building that somebody wanted to raise, that we either had a chance to try to find somebody that would take the building if they wanted to move it, or if the person wanted to raise the building because they didn't have the funding, that we would be able to find if there were any grants available.
Barbara, I do have a question. How many buildings does this apply to?
None. Well, there's a house on Taft Street, and there are the buildings that are on the National Registry within Heritage Hill and within the Reformatory walls, and that's it right now.
So it's very specific.
It is, yes. The only locally designated landmark that we have is the guardhouse, and that's within Heritage Hill. So at this time, you know, we're having our meeting next week. We're hoping... if I have a little more interest in people wanting to be on the National Registry.
Well, considering that we have so few buildings that are recognized as historic at this point, I would have taken the approach that we should that any building of 50 years of age or greater should have at least a 10 to 30 day waiting period for any demolition permit so that it can be assessed before demolition would occur. So.
Well, we did, when we had the intensive survey, they identified those buildings. So there is, I think there's a list in that survey of the buildings that would fall within mm-hmm. that time period. And then they were also identified whether they would be eligible. So possibly they put vinyl siding on it, and now they would not be eligible for being on the registry. So I don't know if we would want to hold up a raising permit for something that wasn't eligible.
Well, you mean they wouldn't be eligible for
National Registry, right.
And, but what about local listing?
We've been given some, and if you want to jump in on this, Howard, since you're the chair, the state told us that we should follow the same guidelines for local designation as the federal, and there's a, what is that called, that pamphlet that they put together, or that information, do you remember what that was? There was this, like some guidelines that came down from the National Park Service that told us how to decide if something was historically intact or whether it should be considered for even local landmark designation.
Right, but even if something was modified, maybe it would, I don't know. There's more room with local listing, you know, and if you want to be strict and just hold to the federal standards, it's fine, but I just think slowly.
I was thinking too fast.
It takes a while for things to get from here to here. If there's a cultural significance, certain person lived there. House may have sold several times, been remodeled, but it's still got cultural significance. It's still historical. You're a historical board, not a historic board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could identify structures as being important in that way, and then, this waiting period could apply to those specific structures. You could list all of the structures that are important to the village without owner consent, I would think, and just require that they have a waiting period because the community acknowledges that these are important to the community. So, and a waiting period is not significant for any project development. It's just a program requirement.
The Realtors Association would
say otherwise. Yeah, they're going to say that, but they don't have an interest in historic preservation.
Right.
So, and that's pretty well acknowledged by their attitude. So,
we had a visit from a representative mm-hmm. of the Real Estate Realtors Association, and was making that case that it would hold up the process. And one of the changes that we made here was to make sure that people knew that the raise permit process mm-hmm. could run concurrently with any plans for, a site plan review or discussions with the village about what they might want to do with that site once they raise the building. They don't have to wait until they don't have to.
Right. It's an issue of the owner's project management capabilities,
clarified that
the
here
rights
so
being
that
restricted.
It is their job as a project manager to understand that and to act in accordance. One of the things we discussed was once we got away from just looking at properties that were on the National Historic Register, it became kind of an administrative burden to keep a record of where these homes were and how old they were, and every year another year ticks off, and we found that we didn't have the capability to go there now in terms of being able to manage that level of detail. So we kind of stopped without, we talked about it, but what about a home that's 50 years old? my house is 50 years old, and it's not historic, but it's old, and but it was added onto, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so who we don't have enough infrastructure, enough. There's no one on staff here, and we all have day jobs. Those of us that
I know that
to actually go through and administer a program that's any more complex than what we put forth in this ordinance. Kind of why we didn't take it to the level that you were.
Right.
You were
Green Bay is able to map all of the structures that are of a certain age or older through the GIS system. I would think that it's the same system that applies to the county.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think we could get that from the land office at the county if we asked them. But anyways, it's a thought. If this is what you're happy with, like to recommend, that it's fine. It's just that I was looking at the Wisconsin Historical Society's recommended ordinance, and it has sections in there where you could say any building 50 years or older would at least have to be, you know, have a delay put on a demolition permit. So
it could be a topic for our agenda going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because we do have something in place now with the open house and the information session, we're going to get some results back from that, and we're going to be doing something, taking some action from the intensive survey. Once that's done, then we'll have some more. Then maybe we can put on our agenda what you're talking about.
And we do have to review the ordinance. Remember, that was on the agenda last week, and we didn't
have
a meeting.
We didn't have a quorum.
So we are going to look at it again, and we can mention the Roger's concern in one of our meetings and see what the feeling is of the committee. And
we couldn't take any action on this because we didn't have a quorum.
Just a question that's probably off base, but I'll try it anyways. Reading raising ordinance, I'm thinking of like the city of Green Bay had that poor Lear Street structure for the railroad, and that was just taken out. And there's that railroad bridge. Is that historically significant? Is there ever a time besides just homes that structures or other things that have been around reach a historical significance?
Well, we do have some structures on our list of being eligible for being on the National Registry. There's a mausoleum.
Okay.
And also one of the railroad bridges is on our list. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a house. It can be a structure. And they evaluated everything in the village when they did do our intensive survey.
But would there be anything that it would fall under this protection? Or could it be as simple as what they did? And I get it, that Port Lear Street, it was hit by a ship and the Coast Guard ordered it out. I get that. But is there anything that if somebody just said, we don't want it to be there anymore, we just want to take it out, they just took it out, it's gone, even if it had a historical significance?
Like one of these items that are eligible?
I was thinking like, and I'm not sure if there's that railroad bridge that goes across to the paper mill. I don't know if that would be, I don't know how long that line's been there, the history, if that would be significant
isn't
or
that
not.
The one that is? That's the one that's on our list, isn't it? That's being eligible?
Yeah.
That one? Right.
But that wouldn't apply to something like this at all.
It's not locally designated, and it's not on the National Register at this time.
Okay.
So right now, they wouldn't have to follow that.
So we could lose pieces of history like that.
Okay,
that's what my question was.
Until they're on the National Registry, right? So we could add that to our agenda for our next meeting, right?
Yeah.
And we'll take a look at that then.
And you know, for something to be included in the state historical inventory, they don't have to have all of the criteria met for the Federal Register. So you might want to look at that level also as being important to historic recognition locally. So.
So rather than approving it at this time then, would you want to wait and hear the response from the Historic Preservation Committee, or it's an action item to approve it, so if you think that they should take a look at that again, did you want to send that back to Historic Preservation?
Isn't it my understanding that they didn't approve it themselves yet?
Uh-huh.
Right. We delayed
it. I would think that we should table that.
Okay.
Postpone it.
Okay. We'll postpone any action.
Do we have to make a motion to do that?
Yeah, I think we need a motion. Okay.
Could I have a motion to postpone any action?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Penny and a second by
Roger.
Roger. Any more discussion on this? Okay, if not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay. And we plan on having a Historic Preservation Committee meeting, are we thinking December 17th? I think that's what we said. Was that still going to work? Okay. And if you'd like to join us, Roger, and explain that further, just let them know what your concerns are so that Howard and I want to give out the incorrect information on that. Okay. Discussion on Plan Commission's goals for 2015. Everybody had at their seat a packet put together by Trevor.
Can we just add one?
Yes. This was last year's annual report. In that report last year, it did list some possible tasks and proposed schedule for us for the 2014. Implement the TIF district. I don't think there really was a lot of discussion on that in our planning commission meetings this year. So that could probably just be moved on to the next year's goals, list of goals.
We did have discussions like the different programs, like the improvement programs, but yeah, we never got into the development planning. What should the TIF district look like?
Is that something economic development is working on too?
Really, there hasn't been.
So in looking through their minutes, it seems like it comes up occasionally.
Yeah,
their
that's
minutes.
About it.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't really, besides the quarter study, which will help that portion of the district, it hasn't really come up too specifically.
Okay.
Okay.
Who brought up the question of what the TIF district looks like? That's quotes. I'm just wondering what the criteria about how it looks. What does that mean?
Like the plan for it? Where are you?
Well, we have
that?
A district.
Right.
So, I guess what's the thought behind further development of a concept for?
Yeah,
for
I've that. Never really been clear on what the TIF was. I know we did the TIF in Bellevue, mm-hmm. and we put in infrastructure, and we wanted the lighting, and we put in ponds, and we put the lighting, so we're going to put decorations on it and banners, and it doesn't sound like there's really anything set up like that for the TIF in Alloway, is there? Like, there's not a plan.
There is no plan.
Okay.
Right. that's what we're hoping to identify with the corridor studies.
Okay.
The Riverside Drive one currently covers the whole portion of the TIF district, including within whole portion of the TIF district in
Agri. Well, when you put together a TIF district and you have to get the approval from all the different entities, doesn't there have to kind of be a plan? Wasn't there a plan or something or goals?
Yeah, there's projects that are identified that can be taken on.
Okay.
It's, to be honest, it's a lot of language that's pretty broad and vague.
Okay.
Really?
Quarter study hopefully will.
Focus it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The TIF, I know if it's an ordinance or it's legislation, defines the area and the formula through which the funding occurs.
But not the design.
But not the design. So I think that's the next step. We need to come up with some design standards that can be applied to the TIF district.
Didn't Didn't the board at one time talk about, like, medical, like, there's the Prevea Clinic or different things at Webster, mm-hmm. but now the board has changed. So is that, I mean, or there was time, I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything, like, for the old Village Hall site. There's all this energy, and all of a sudden, I've just heard nothing. And maybe things are happening, and maybe nothing's happening.
There's been things happening and things that didn't happen.
Okay.
So it's not like it's sitting. I mean, there's been a lot of attention to it. But I think, again, the quarter study is what we're looking for because there is no plan. So far, all there was yeah, talk. Like, we'd like to see this or we'd like to see that, but, you know.
But that's dangerous when that's all that we have that's driving the Planning Commission is some board members that aren't on the board anymore.
I guess in Bellevue, we had a more definite plan, and we had dollar amounts, and we had roads, and we had a plan before we went to get the TIF approved. So
I think currently we just have an area highlighted in a different color on the map.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would be correct.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the extent of the plan right now.
Barb, I'm not too familiar with the Bellevue's, but there are different TIFs. So ours specifically addresses redevelopment projects.
Okay.
Bellevue, I know there's
it was new.
New development, yeah. So they're
different. It's okay.
I guess there are projects highlighted that could take place, but I guess, yeah.
I know when we had our meeting with the DOT and we were talking about some decorative style light poles along Riverside, and I said, well, maybe we could use the TIF money for that. Somebody said, oh, no, that couldn't be used for that. That's spoken for. And I thought, well, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know we had a plan. And that was, I think you're the public works person that was on our committee. It wasn't Craig. And I thought, you would think that would be something that TIF money could be used for. Because I thought, well,
I mean, it hasn't been decided to be used for that,
but that's a possibility. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. In the whole corridor study plan talks all about streetscaping.
Okay.
The whole connecting streets with sidewalks and bike lanes. I mean, it's very broad.
Okay. Good.
So addressing the TIF district would be. Could be considered a component of working with the corridor study.
Right. So. Okay.
Just before we dive too far into our goals, we can have goals, but did we get anything through the budget process to do anything, to accomplish any goals? I mean, we can have all the wish lists in the world.
That's true.
Is there a brief update that, I mean, is there certain things that were either asked for? I mean, we had talked about in the past, and we probably failed during my watch, about coming up with what's the next steps on revising our zoning code. And I know that can mean lots of different things to lots of different people. We never came up with a specific dollar amount that we brought forward to the administrator, to our board. But is there other things that we have? Sometimes we get money from Brown County to look at different things for us, or...
Well, what we have is obviously the corridor study.
Okay.
But we also are doing recodification. So that was one of the goals that was in here before. So.
Actually, I'd like to say we got one thing in the budget for ourselves, and that's Trevor.
And we have Trevor.
Okay.
So there is
some
investments, and Trevor's going to make it all.
I think that's good because even like that bicycle pedestrian discussion, we're always talking about, oh, what do we want? What do we want? We never step back and say, hey, we did this or this or this. These are some good things. And sometimes I think in government, we're always pushing for the next thing when we never look at where we've come from to where we are now. So thank you. That helps for my perspective. So those are probably, well... Trevor, you're always a priority, but the other two things are probably the major priorities for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess last time we kind of came up with, by quarter, we broke down priorities, and we kind of fell away from that towards mm-hmm. the end, but that might be another helpful approach.
Okay. Well, the TIF district we had said last year would just be ongoing, and I guess mm-hmm. we could leave it at that because that corridor study will... help us along the way. I don't know how soon that will all happen and come together, but
just so you know, the goal for the corridor study is to be completed by June 30th of 2015. Okay. So it's going to be a lot of work starting January through June 30th, which will involve this committee as well. So.
So you've selected a contractor for that?
We're getting consult.
Narrowed it down to a few, or?
Yeah, I think we have that on as a little bit of an update.
Okay. Okay. Other ideas for goals for next year? I'm looking through the list on things that we didn't complete this year.
Well, I think the, if you don't mind me interjecting, I have to leave.
Please do.
Updating the zoning code so it's consistent with the comprehensive plan, I think it's is important. I don't believe the recodification will provide us with an assessment of whether, I mean, we do have an assessment already written out, but we've never taken the time to go through and discuss that and look at it section by section. I think we also should address, you know, the concepts behind, the newer concepts behind planning, city planning, that we could be looking at to try to realize our comp plan. Because there are a lot more resources, a lot more ideas available. And I think if, since we have Trevor, it would be great if, you know, he could bring some research and some articles for us to become more informed about how we could do that.
Would you like a monthly email or?
I don't know. Well, if I were going to lay out a quick plan for it, I would first have a general discussion where everybody is tasked with reading the assessment of the zoning code. And then we come and we discuss that and kind of work out the priorities that we'd like to see addressed in approaching modifications to the zoning code. So.
Now, when you say reading the what's been written for the zoning code, do you mean that UWGB's analysis?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
one? Okay.
Right. And then I don't know why updating the village sign code is here. I think
because we can never get rid of it.
we just did that.
It's haunting.
We've done it like four times. What are you talking about?
I think, you know, if people want to bring incremental modifications to it, that's one thing. But that's
I don't think it has to be a priority.
I don't think it has to be a priority.
I think that is what I had in mind. Just some incremental changes. Since I've been here and working with different business owners in the community, it has been an issue that has been addressed actually quite frequently. And I think just some small tweaks to it could help address those issues. I think it's fine, mostly how it is. I think there are some small things that could be worthwhile visiting.
What seems to be the most, which area of the ordinance seems to be a problem for them? Size, height?
Size a little bit. That's the main one.
Okay.
I think how it's written now, it does establish a good size limit. For a smaller size piece, but I can't speak.
We don't have anything big here.
I'm sorry?
We don't have anything big here.
Right.
So.
But I guess I can't think of anything right off the bat, but there have been a few issues. And I don't know if I'm supposed to. I'm not.
I'm
allowed to disclose it right now.
Oh, okay.
The current businesses that want to go with a larger sign—it's not a part of a whole new development type of a thing.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not just one business here.
Well, I think we'd like to see the overall character of what that would mean before
right.
we can.
So I don't know if, you know, with redoing the zoning code, if we could develop an overlay and have like this portion of Webster that would allow, you know, certain variations in the site. Maybe something mm-hmm. we could discuss.
Something for the summer.
Then you have on the list the working with the Historic Preservation Committee on creating historic districts. So hopefully after next week we'll have a better idea if the residents are interested in that. I'm not familiar with the Connect Communities program.
That's a new program through WEDC. It's only 2 years. It's similar to the Main Street program.
Oh, okay.
Except it's for communities like aren't about historic the historic buildings that make up the Main Street. So it's a lot of times it's used it's either used for communities like ours for like a quarter like Webster or communities that want to get to that Main Street program. Kind of as a stepping stone. Actually, the representative from WEDC lives here in LA, right? And I met with her, and her name's Melita Bird, but she's actually coming to the Economic Development Committee to speak on the scrapping program to that committee next week, December 5th at 8 a.m.
I think I am interested. I'll be there.
Are you on that committee?
Yeah.
Also, something Brad just reminded me of, something that the Village Board has been talking about is developing neighborhood associations. And that's something that DEO Lab now has been working on, and I've kind of been trying to assist him with is trying to develop these neighborhood associations, which similar to neighborhood watches, but they are more encompassing as far as what they cover. And yes, that's something that the commission could help out with.
I used to go to some of the neighborhood watch meetings, and they're very beneficial, but it's hard to get an association, especially like in my area. There's duplexes, and there's people moving out, people, and so it's. There's not necessarily a core neighborhood to build that on it right now. I mean, I'd love that. In Racine, there was a neighborhood that they had the neighborhood association. They had a lot of the people lived there for 40 years. And so I see what it can be. We just don't have we have a changing demographics, at least on the south side of the village. You have a lot of older people that some either want to or some they're just going to stay in their home and watch TV, and that's all you're going to get from them. So I support the DEO's effort, but I just don't know how to make it work right now with what we got in some of these neighborhoods.
I apologize, I have to leave, but I don't know if this would apply to the overall goals. I kind of would like to see us address this issue at the next meeting, but I would like to have our group recommend to the board that ordinance 31.19D, it's under dangerous or negligent use of public streets prohibited. This is the title of the section. And it's use of streets by pedestrians. I would like to see that stricken from our ordinances.
Is that part of the zoning code, or which ordinance?
It's part
is
of
that
the
in?
General ordinance.
Okay.
Chapter 31, right. Section 19, paragraph D. Because I think it puts, there are so many of our streets that don't have sidewalks, and pedestrians are in the streets for a variety of reasons, and it puts them at risk for fault in any crash where they're involved. So
it puts pedestrians at
pedestrians
fault?
At okay. risk for being at fault okay. simply because they're in the street.
So.
Okay. So.
Okay. So we don't need to recommend anything to the board. They're already looking at that.
Right.
Okay.
So.
Well, as soon as you get to me,
now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on any of the other things that are left on the agenda that you wanted to address for you?
No, I think we already talked about the bike ped plan.
Right. The court, the update on the corridor study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
I guess one other idea, because like we can't build a neighborhood like base, and I know we're trying to do that. I know other communities around us might have more resources in some ways. Like the pier has cable access TV. I mean, if you walk up and down, I know Brad, you walk, and I walk the neighborhood, and I see TV, and we're having a hard time getting people to be on this committee and many other village committees. And I don't know if there's cost or I don't even. Know the answer, but I guess if there was a way that there was cable access or another way that maybe we could get into people's audiences because they're not necessarily coming out and participating. So it's just something, otherwise it's the same thing. I mean, I kind of laugh through the years, like Adam Perillo, he'd say, boy, we should have charrettes or we should have community meetings and go out and engage people. And we got, like we talked about during our review, the McCormick home. There's some of those neighborhood people. You don't know what we're thinking. I had people calling me up at my home. How do we engage those people? So it's not just we're going through our motion and we care as a committee, but it's almost like we're separate from the rest of the community. And that's just something, since I've been on this since 2007, I've seen that, and I don't think we're any closer to solving that. And maybe we never will be. So that's my future goal in 2020 to deal with. But because we had even talked about having a community event. I mean, yeah, there's the car show, but that's not, my family doesn't go out. We don't have, like some communities, they have fun activities where, I don't know, bring out at the park some village equipment or something else. Maybe there's liability or other things, but I'm just, how do we get the community engaged in things? And maybe that's not our part, we're just the planning and zoning, but if you get people engaged, then you can have some of the serious conversations.
Has there been any discussion about doing something? Open house, or do you do the touch a truck event?
Touch a truck?
You do that in Bellevue, yeah.
He gets up, brought up several times. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's, we try to move in the park this past summer. And, of course, it rained. You know, and what happens, you postpone it, you set an alternative date for it, and the idea was to have the movie was Grease. Just before the car show, so it's kind of a meeting with the car show. So we got rained out that Friday night, so just pushed back a few weeks.
Doesn't connect anymore.
Would it be possible, like for an event like that, to have it in the pavilion at Green Isle Park as a backup site, or is that just too much opening it up and cleaning it and all that kind
of? It's the size of this screen.
Oh, it's that big. Oh, okay.
You know, one of the things, I get what you mean, Chris. It is so hard to try to connect to people. And I've got a meeting set up next week with a company that Midwest Communications has a potential pilot program as a way to, you know, if people are signed up, we can just get the information out to them through various mediums with their help. I'm going to learn more about it next week, and I can tell you more in the future. But you know, one of the other aspects was, well, what if we were live stream meetings to try to get people excited about things? So I'm looking into some of that stuff too. But it's an uphill battle, and it's hard to get there.
And part of it is there's a media vacuum. I mean, there's no, the Press Gazette, they're the only show in town, and they only pick and choose what events. We're never going to be newsworthy.
But that's part of why government's kind of losing its interest with people. So I appreciate you recognize that. I know I've talked to you about that issue, but it's just something. I think Alloy can be more than just a bedroom community that people retreat to. But I think we have a ways to go before we have the community engaged. So.
Any other thoughts on goals for 2015? Trevor has some good ones outlined.
I think we need to get more members. Because I know in 2015 I'm probably looking at rotating off. So,
You have to find a replacement before you leave.
No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So I just think we need to get more engaged. I mean, we've had, when I look at like Kendra or Roger or Howard, we've had so many people come onto the committee, but they don't stay. And that's part of, we're going to have to get some more people to sustain this so we can continue. Because otherwise, it also makes the conversation more vibrant when we have different perspectives.
Well, I think you need Board of Appeals members. I know Historic Preservation is short two committee members. So is it a problem kind of across the board on all the committees? Or
It's been a problem for quite a few years. Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple of historic preservation meetings where we couldn't conduct business. I mean, we had a discussion afterwards. And the last one, I opened the meeting and closed it. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about some things. I know in Elk River, Minnesota, which is about the same population as where I lived before, you know, we had public access TV. And people watched it, you know. I used to joke. I'd say, "Well, yeah, if you have insomnia, you can always turn this on at 3 a.m. or tape it." But I would go into the village to City Hall, and they have it streaming there on a couple of TVs, you know, the screens in the lobby, and people would sit there and watch.
Hmm.
And so, and anything you want to say to the community can be said, you know, anything that's in the public sphere, you know, in any public appearances, you know, everybody. That's a way to engage because people hear what's going on. Otherwise, no one comes here.
Well, and that even goes farther. I mean, it's not just the committees. I mean, in De Pere with their cable access TV, in my day job, I was talking to their health department and said, boy, if you guys have immunization clinics, you could put a little advertisement on that and get people out. And so now they're doing those things.
Yeah.
So there's just sometimes we've got to look at different perspectives on how to engage and involve. And, I mean, if we had something like that, we're doing and be accurate and not say we're coming for leaf collection on this date and then don't come for another week. I mean, it's got to be accurate information so you're not surprising the people either. So this is why I'm down here by myself this time. I make up for the rest. I get it. It's a balancing. I get it.
Any other ideas? Otherwise, we'll stick to the list. And I don't know if we need to come up with dates or months that we'll be looking at each of these topics. And I know you kind of had that last year in the last year plan.
Actually, Alex did that, and then I just rewrote it at the time.
Okay.
So I would think it would be appropriate for Trevor to take a stab at it and for you as the chair, Barb,
and figure out our schedule for next year. Okay, we'll take a look at that, Trevor.
And I'm always willing to review it also if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and this was just a discussion, so we don't need any motions on this one, correct?
Correct. Okay. Would you guys want me to put this together and have it for December, January?
Sure.
But I would like prioritize, stick to like the quarter study or whatever things that we need, but we also should be clear what is our role. It's one thing to say you're going to be involved. What do you need from us or what should we be doing if it's assignments or other things? So.
What is the plan with the quarter study? Are they mainly dealing with staff then and then is it with us? It is. Okay. So then we'll be seeing a lot of the consultant.
You'll learn more on number 9.
Okay. Nobody wants to say anything until
right,
we get
well
down there. Okay.
Coming up soon.
All right. So number 8 is update on Public Works 5-year project plan.
All right. And spoke with Craig Burns about this. He said currently they're using one, but it's the end of 5 years. It's not like a reoccurring, you know, every year they add to it. Mm-hmm. This is the last year of their five-year plan. They don't have one for next year. They have projects that they know they need to tackle, but they don't have the actual plan saying what's going to be tackled when. He is working on putting something together that's bigger than just 5 years, less than 15 years. Mm-hmm. So.
And if I could add to that, I've asked, and when Chris gets on board, we'll be able to look on this a bit more, but putting together a CIP program, sure. Because the village, we did that many, many years ago. I mean, Barb, you were here back in the 90s, mm-hmm. We had a CIP plan, and we got away from that. It's time that we bring that back, and so then you're laying your path forward every 5 years. You know where you're going. You know, you're constantly updating that, but at least you have an outlook in 5 years. So that's something that staff will be working on. Definitely have it ready for budget time for 2015, 2016 budget.
Where does, because like we were surprised on the Webster Street Bridge, or there's some other county projects or state projects. I know the information's out there. I could call up and get a six-year program app from the DOT tomorrow if I wanted to. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do it. Sometimes projects are added, I get that, but it's better than where we are right now. And I don't know if it's something we write a note a couple times a year. I mean, a lot of times, like Brown County, their projects for a five-year period is on their website. You can print it off. Yeah, is it always that accurate? But at least we know. I'm not saying for next year. I'm saying we should be looking 2, 3, 4, 5 years, because that's when the design happens. If it's for next year, it's already too late. We got very lucky to get the aesthetics change for that bridge as late in the process as it was. So it's just trying to be proactive. It should be part of our everyday business. We always should be looking to the future and what projects. And then if there's opportunities that we can combine some of our village projects, I mean, that's the Public Works Committee to say what's the best place to do that. But if they need feedback from us on bike lanes or aesthetics or what the quarter feel, that's our job and we should be doing it. We're not. So I don't know who gets assigned to check those things periodically. I mean, even if it's as simple as putting it on your calendar a couple times a year, what's the county have? Or I know Craig probably has conversations with the Brown County Highway Department or DOT, but then I know it's one of those challenges. He's got so many other things going on, it's just one other thing that falls on the plate. So, but we don't want to be surprised.
Well, a lot of that, when I look back at the bike trail connection that we're going to be doing, that was pre-stoplights. And the intent was we bring this down to Riverside Drive, and it would make sense for stoplights to go in here, so you would have that crossing. So I was working with the DOT for 2-3 years, and next thing you know, you got, as well as some of the residents took on that issue of we should have stoplights in this area. So that was a nice working relationship that it built on to a project that's, we've still haven't done it yet, but it's going to happen.
But because you had that conversation, DOT said, aha, the village is serious about this. We need to put in a signal that can handle a pedestrian-activated crossing. So if you wouldn't have had that conversation, they put something in and say, oh, sorry, it's too late, guys. Right. So we need to be transparent with the county and the state and say, this is what we're, maybe not today, but see, this is that future look. And so if they do need to make some interim improvements, they can start working towards our goals so we're all working together. So I agree with you totally.
And that's important, too, because when they're looking at changing Webster, they already know that this trail is going to be there, that they understand that they should have a crossing at that site signalized. So that's already in the works as well. So it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that 100%. I just,
there's too many times, like Hoffman or other things, we're just caught totally by surprise. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. Roundabout's going in here. That's nice. Is it urban, rural? What's the deal? What should the gateway look like into the community? I mean, those are just, we're an afterthought, so. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the Public Works 5-year plan? Okay, an update on the corridor study?
Okay, I'll keep this relatively short. We're after the reviewing of the 8 proposals that came through, we've narrowed it down to 3. We're looking at setting up interviews next Thursday the 4th and Tuesday the 9th, where the top 3 firms are going to come in and do a presentation. Anyone that has any information or any questions that you would like to see asked, please give them to either Trevor or myself. We're going to be held in this boardroom. We're not going to be a public or a noted meeting, but it's wide open. Trying to make it as transparent as possible. And the goal is that after the interview aspect, hopefully we can then start the final negotiations and be able to take to the board on December 16th final recommendation as far as which firm it is, and then get started the first of the year.
And then their plans completed June 30th.
Correct. Okay. Trevor and I did some phone, I want to say phone interviews, but more inquiries on the 3 firms. That was just today. All 3 of them today. So, helping answer some of the questions that he and I had come up with, further explanation, clarifications, and talk about the time frame. So, it's an exciting time for us. And Chris, like you were alluding to earlier, getting the public involved with this is very critical. Mm-hmm. And we need that involvement. We need the involvement of historic preservation. We need the involvement of economic development, land commission, the village board, park and rec, public works. I mean, they all have to work together to make this plan to be successful.
So are you looking at some joint meetings with everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Well, our proposal asks for 6 scheduled meetings. And whether or not they're all going to be a joint meeting, or maybe 1 or 2 will be just to the village board, presentations to the village board, but there will be working groups in between there. There's stakeholders, interviews, there's resident interviews. There's a lot brought into this study, so that we're trying to get what the village is looking for, not just maybe what the plan commission wants or what the board wants. It's reaching out to the entire community.
I guess just one, for that discussion, hopefully the county supervisor will at least be copied, because maybe if there's infrastructure improvements that, I mean, Alloway Avenue was just done, but if there's something that there needs to be a push or encouragement, I would encourage you that work with the elected official from the county level also.
Correct.
And I guess just one unsolicited suggestion, when you guys go through your interview process, basically these people are trying to sell themselves. And I guess I would encourage you to try and have them talk about what type of work have they done, an example of what we're looking at. Because there's times when I did this and I would solicit and I'd have interviews and they'd be talking all about this reconstruct level bridge, and it was a study to look at the bridge. We weren't building a bridge. So it's like, no, that's fantastic. That's great. It's not what we asked for. And you're out. So I just hope you be very serious about it's going to be very, I mean, they can do amazing things. Oh, these models, those models, is that what we really need? And so try and do your homework, be very clear on what we're looking for, but also making clear that they're coming in and presenting to what we need, not what they can do. So.
Any other questions or comments on the corridor study? And the next meeting date is December 22nd. Is anybody, everybody available that day? That's Monday before Christmas. I'd rather not have the meeting then. I know we canceled our meeting last year, the week of Christmas.
Do we need a meeting? I mean, do we have things that are coming before us? I don't need to meet unless we...
Nothing's on the radar right now.
The corridor study would be the next big project that we're going to have to focus on. Maybe we'll probably, we're not going to know, maybe we'll know who the firm is that we're dealing with by that time. Hopefully we should. But what would that mean to the committee? It'd be nothing.
The only thing could be if the raising ordinance goes to the historic preservation on the 17th, that then it could come back to plan commission, but I don't know that we're in a hurry to get that done and sent down to the board by the end of the year. That could probably wait until January. Can anybody think of anything else that would need to be addressed in December?
Unless you want to have a holiday party, but that's your choice.
Have you done that in the past?
We haven't done enough of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The closest I think we've come to that was either ice cream after our bike tour or...
And then it got dark.
Or when Tracy left.
There's a little goodbye party.
That's... Mm-hmm. We don't do enough camaraderie type things. And because it's got to be posted as a public meeting,
that's true.
There's very limited opportunities.
Anybody's feeling?
Excuse me. No, I just have a meeting. We college meeting together. No.
That's it. And I would say we're not going to have one, but if something comes up that's pressing,
we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Excuse me. If I don't tab my cough drops continuously. That's it. I'd be looking for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Take a ride home
from the interview. Can we shut this off? Trevor.
Do we just push this?
No.